anyone that has been a long-term listener knows that our December show is typically dedicated to high-tech gifts for Christmas. And I've got a pretty decent list this year. And so we're going to go ahead and start. I'm not including any laptops or real tablets or anything like that. We talked a lot about those for the November show with our Black Friday list. This one is going to just be kind of gadget oriented. So the first one I want to start with is the Amazon Echo. For those who are not familiar with the Amazon Echo, this is Amazon's equivalent, I guess, if you want, to Siri, which is the Apple voice that will answer you, Cortana, which is on Windows devices. But what sets the Amazon Echo apart from those is there is not a computer or a laptop required. Amazon Echo is an entire device, and the voice, if you will, is Alexa for the Amazon Echo. It sells for about $180, and in reality, it's kind of a circular cylinder-like speaker that has 7 microphones, and Alexa can do some pretty cool things. She can play music at your request from music streaming services like Pandora, or if you have Amazon Prime, from Amazon Music. She can answer questions, tell you what the weather is like. And Amazon Echo also integrates with a lot of interesting apps, if you will. And that's, I guess, one of the coolest things about Amazon Echo is the operating system is in the cloud. So there is no need to download anything on a continual basis or update it. It's updated automatically as Amazon adds more functionality to the Echo. Some of the more interesting features that Amazon Echo integrates with, and this is going to segue into my next device, is connected lighting for the home. There's a number of different products available for connected lighting. The two that I'm going to kind of focus in on, but there's a lot more than this, but the two I'm going to focus in on are the Philips Hue, H-U-E, and LIFX, L-I-F-X. And the reason I chose them is because they are the two that have bulbs available that will do color rather than just the plain old white that we get in regular bulbs. What's neat about connected lights, connected lighting bulbs, is you can program them from your smartphone, or again with the Amazon Echo, you could walk in the house and say, "Hey Alexa, dim the lights 50 degrees or 50%, or whatever it might be, or set my lights to red or blue. You know, give me some ambiance." I don't think that she's intelligent enough to know what ambiance means, but it's a kind of a neat little thought that you can, you know, kind of do this with your home. So the Philips Hue, you can pick this up at Best Buy or Amazon. The starter kit contains 3 bulbs and a bridge, and this is important with the Philips Hue that it does require a bridge, but it's about $199. And the interesting thing about all of this connected home stuff is each device is going to require its own IP address because they work off of Wi-Fi. That means that you can control that particular device anywhere you are. So you could program the lights if you're on vacation. You could program the lights to come on at a certain time. Or if you're on your way home, you could walk into a lighted house without leaving a lamp burning all day or all night, wasting electricity. So the Philips requires a bridge, and then additional bulbs are $60 to add to them if you want to stay with the color ones. Obviously, the plain white are a little cheaper. And then the LIFX is unique in that no hub is required. You can just buy the bulbs separately. The color bulbs are $60 and the white bulbs are $40. LIFX has some better reviews with color duplication, meaning that the color choice is a little bit better with the Lifex hue. The hue apparently can't do like true reds, whatever that means. This is all subjective, by the way. You know, this isn't really red. This is more like pink. That's a subjective thing, right? But Lifex, what I liked about it is there's no hub required. It just, you just control it with the app that you can download on your, again, your Android phone, your Windows computer, or your iPhone. It also, Lifex also works with something called IFTTT, which stands for If This Then That. And IFTTT is free, by the way. But IFTTT is a unique thing, app, if you will, in that it uses recipes. And an example of an IFTTT might be that you set up a recipe to say that if you show up, if an image of you is tagged, if you're tagged in an image on Facebook, you might set it up so that it downloads that image automatically to your Dropbox so that you can save it. That way you don't have to, you know, pay attention to Facebook whenever you're tagged and you get a message, and then you have to go to wherever that image is posted, and then you have to save that image. This will do it automatically. So you could set up an IFTTT recipe to turn on your Lifex bulbs or set them to a certain color depending on a particular circumstance. So I thought that was kind of unique. And of course, both work with the Amazon Echo. So, you know, that's a neat little selling feature if you want to connect up your house. Amazon Echo integrates with more than just the Philips and the Lifex bulbs, as well as other connected home services. Amazon Echo will integrate or interact with any devices that are Wemo devices or Samsung SmartThings, Wink. These are all different technologies for that connected home. The one drawback, at least for me, with Amazon Echo is that Amazon Echo will not stream music from your own network storage device. So if you happen to have a lot of music stored on your computer, or you have a separate network storage like MyCloud from Western Digital, currently Echo won't stream from that. But again, they are updating it constantly. Every other day there's a new feature that Amazon Echo now supports, and it's updated, you know, right away. Amazon Echo will also read read audiobooks to you. It integrates now with Yelp, so you can get information on area businesses, if you're looking for a good pizza store, you know, all kinds of different things. And as I said, it's constantly being echoed, or being updated, I'm sorry. So for $180, it's not a bad little device. The sound quality is pretty good. It's not, you know, Bose speaker quality, but there's a considerable price difference between an Amazon Echo and Bose speakers, but it still is pretty good. It uses something called far-field voice recognition, which is supposed to mean that you don't have to be right up near the device. You can be across the room, and it will still hear you. Reviews are mixed. I'm going to admit that. There's if you go to Amazon and you look at the reviews, there's over 28,000 reviews. For the most part, it's the average of all of the reviews is 4.5 stars, but there are some, you know, one star reviews there. People get a little frustrated about Alexis's ability to understand their voice, but the reviews are very, very positive. So it is definitely something to look into, especially if you're thinking about automating your home, getting more into that connected home kind of thing, and you like tech gadgets and you want to be able to check on, you know, the weather or traffic. It also will give you traffic alerts, answer questions, give you sports scores, and all kinds of other information. Still, like I said, you know, I don't know. I'm one that when a new tech device comes out, I like to wait for a year before I buy into it. But I expect great things from Amazon Echo and in the future. And as I had mentioned, the one thing I really, really like is that Alexa is cloud-based. So as Amazon adds more, you get it right away. You don't have to wait for a little while. Oh, and did I forget, Amazon Echo can also be your alarm clock and can create a shopping list for you. So you don't have to write down items. If you peek in the refrigerator, you can just simply say, oh, Alexis, add milk to my shopping list. You know, speaking of that, it's Alexa. I kept saying Alexis. Speaking of that, that is the one thing that drives me a little bit crazy about these services like Cortana and Siri and Alexa. You can't change the name. You know, what if I want a guy or, you know, something different? You know, Alexa is a little, you know, I don't like that name. So, you know, what if I want to, you know, call her Christine, you know, or, you know, change it to Dave so I can pretend I'm talking to my husband. I bet that will come one day because it is a feature that people have requested. Can I change the name and the voice? So one of these days it's going to come out. But in the meantime, we're stuck with Siri, Cortana, and Alexa with the Amazon Echo. So my next gadget is in the realm of a stocking stuffer. You know, I'm not quite sure how much, what, you know, price point people put on stocking stuffers. But it's kind of a cool little gadget and won't set you back, and it'll, you know, provide your kids, you know, considerable, you know, amount of fun. And that's the Google Cardboard. I know we've talked about the Google Cardboard on the show before, but not in quite a while. And basically what it is it's a virtual reality or VR headset that is made strictly from cardboard. And it's only going to set you back $13, but it works with a variety of different smartphones to give a 3D look. Think of it as a ViewMaster for the 21st century. What's kind of interesting, and the reason I wanted to bring up VR headsets, is they are starting to, there's a lot more offerings out there. You know, we've talked about the Oculus Rift, which is, you know, probably the one of the top of the line VR headsets. But now there's some really inexpensive choices because, again, they don't require a computer. They work strictly for the smartphone. And the other thing that makes these a little bit more popular is there's a lot more of this content that's available for the smartphone. You can take a virtual reality tour of the Smithsonian or the Louvre, and there's even some games that are out available on the smartphone. If you've got a 3D movie and your smartphone supports that, you can use the VR headset to watch those 3D movies, and you know, with the little you know, earbuds, you can get some great sound. So the Google Cardboard is the, you know, lowest end. Oh, by the way, and if you don't want to buy the Google Cardboard, there's actually instructions out there that you can build your own using your own cardboard, your own lenses. There's a nice little shopping list and complete instructions, so you can build your own if you want. But if you're not that, you know, mechanically inclined, or you don't want to shop for the parts, then you can pick up the Google Cardboard either directly from Google or Amazon sells them. And again, they're about $13. If you want something a little more substantial, I'm not sure how long the cardboard's going to last, and especially if it gets passed around by the kids and they start fighting for it, there are some other VR headsets that are still in a reasonable price range. They're kind of all over the board, but a couple of them that I picked out that I thought were particularly interesting. One is the Increda Sonic M700 for $45. And what I liked about that particular one, the reviews were still pretty decent on it. There's some negative reviews based on fit and comfortableness. But what I liked about the M700 is it also comes at that $45. It comes with a Bluetooth controller, so you can play games with it. Otherwise, if you don't have the controller, there are still some games that you can play, but it's all head movement. So, for example, you move, and by the way, this is a key critical thing with the VR headsets. If it's a movie, yeah, you just sit there and watch the movie. But if you want to take a virtual tour, you literally have to move around, move your head, walk around. You just can't stand there and the tour doesn't go by you. You move to make the tour virtual. But anyway, with the M700, it does come with a Bluetooth controller so that you can play some of the 3D games that are available for smartphones. Then the other one is the, and this is a higher price point, and that's the Samsung Gear VR headset for $100. Amazon is currently out, but you can get them at other places. And those work with Samsung devices. So you would expect them to have, you know, the same quality that any Samsung Gear device might have. But take a look. You can just Google VR headsets, and there's a whole, you know, option out there. There's a lot of stuff coming from China, you know, really cool tech stuff. And that kind of segues me to the other big item that might be on your kids' Christmas list, and that's hoverboards. These are not, by the way, the hoverboards from Back to the Future. They're essentially, think of the Segway without a handle. So there are two wheels and a board, and then the kids have to, you know, balance on them, and there's, you know, a couple of pads that, you know, they can make them move and turn and do all kinds of, you know, cool little things. They get up to about 10 miles an hour, and it's interesting because there's all kinds of YouTube videos out there. People are using them for their commute, you know, on traveling from, you know, subway station to subway station. Cautions with the hoverboards. Prices range anywhere from $250 to $1,000. There have been some stories of these hoverboards catching on fire. So I'm not sure if I had kids, if I would be that eager to run out and buy one. There's all kinds of brands out there. Again, the majority of them are coming out of China, and they're kind of what's called white label, meaning the factory sells them, and then you can just buy a bunch of these and slap your own label on them. So quality is going to be all over the board. If you're looking at buying your kids a hoverboard for Christmas, please, please, please do some research and get some pretty high-rated ones. There are some, but of course, obviously, with the higher-rated ones, you're going to pay a little bit of a heavier price. Don't go for the lowest-priced ones, because there's a good chance that those are ones that are known to catch on fire. They catch on fire while charging and even while using. Charging is the most often when they catch on fire. So if you do get a hoverboard, regardless of the quality and the brand, only charge it when you're at home and when somebody is there to watch it. So that's a hoverboard. But, you know, there's a lot of kids that are going to want those. And yeah, maybe if I was a kid, I'd want one too. But as my husband said to me, you're not getting a hoverboard, you'd break your neck. And he's right, I probably would. So next, probably most popular item on everybody's Christmas list is drones. And, you know, drones, oh my goodness, you know, we started talking about drones at the beginning of the year, and now they're just all over the place. And again, every single price range, as low as, you know, $40, $50, all the way up to $1,200 and more. You know, and drones will come with all kinds of different features. You know, they have cameras on them, and then the price point is going to determine how much that camera can record. You know, can it record, you know, 1 minute or, you know, 2 hours? You know, they'll come with lights in. A lot of them are interact with your phone or your tablet, so, you know, especially if it's a touch device, so you don't necessarily need to use the controller. You can control it with your tablet or your phone, you know, just all kinds of different features. And again, I don't have any particular one to, you know, to recommend. And everybody's selling them. You know, Target is selling them, Best Buy, Kmart, everybody's got them, including Amazon. The one that I did find that was, pretty nicely rated is one that comes from a company called Discovery. And part of the reason, and it's sold by USA Toys, it's $150, but one of the reasons why it's so highly rated is it's a pretty sturdy one. That's one of the problems with some of the less expensive drones is the kids are going to crash it and then it's going to break. And, they've been playing with it for half an hour, crash it into a wall, and that's it, it's done with. But the helicopter out of Discovery has got some, pretty good durability-ness. My neighbor just bought one from Target the other day, and it was the same thing. I don't know the brand. It was one that was on sale for $50, I think he said. And he crashed it a couple of times into a shed and into the house, and he said it just, kept on going. So that's a big thing, especially if you're giving this to the kids, is you want to make sure they're pretty durable. And even if you have a grown-up kid, a lot of fun with those, doing aerial tricks and whatnot. Do make sure that if it is for your kid, that you kind of review some of the rules with them as far as where drones can be flown and not flown. They can't be flown near airports. So if you happen to live in Racine and you're near Baton Airport, you want to definitely go over some of that with your kids. Next one that I've got is the Leapfrog tablet. The Leapfrog has a couple of handheld devices, and again, price range depending on the one you get will be anywhere from $50 to $112. The 112 is the Android-based one, so it is a pretty much a full-fledged tablet for the kids. And kids, I've got a niece who's not quite 2 years old, and she loves playing with those. She comes over to my house, and the first thing she sees is, my Amazon Fire, and she wants to play. And of course, I don't have any kids' games on there, so she just kind of, pokes at it. But at home, she does have a kids' tablet, and she is so good with this, even at, not even 2 years old. So part of the reason why I like the Leapfrog tablet is, again, because it's Android-based, you can get some of those other Android games, but it's also Leapfrog, so all of the Leapfrog apps are available. And, my feeling is, with these kinds of things is, if it's, flash in, looks like a game, the kids will love it, and they don't even really realize they're learning. My niece has gotten so good. She can, pick out letters and numbers and, identify colors, and, they're getting so smart with these things. Now, the problem with that is, if you try to limit their screen time, they get a little upset. And there are even some studies that are being done now with, giving tablets with little ones and their reactions when you take them away. So is this now, is the tablet, giving kids the tablet, is this the digital babysitter of the 21st century? That's just, something that you definitely want to be concerned with. But if you're going to let your kid play with a tablet, we're talking like preschool age, we're not talking, 7 and 8, because by the time they're 7, 8, 9, 10, getting up there, they want a real live tablet so they can do schoolwork. But for the little ones, might as well learn as they're playing. And Leapfrog is well known for their learning games, and they've got good reviews. So that's definitely another one that I would recommend. And then the last thing on my list, and it gets back to kind of that connected home thing, our connected appliances. The first one is a crock pot, a connected crock pot, and it is by crock pot, the brand name crock pot. It's the crock pot smart Wi-Fi enabled, and this one is a Wemo, so it will obviously work with your Amazon Echo. Amazon has it for $181. There are some other places where you can get it for a little bit less, but it's kind of a neat thing, and it'll, you know, again, it'll interact with your, there's a smartphone app, and so you can program it, you know, while you're at work to start cooking your meal. And, you know, connected appliances are all over the place, but this is a nice one, you know, a little bit, little bit more affordable for, you know, the busy moms and dads that need to start dinner. And interesting with the, you know, connected appliances, there are even connected coffee pots so that you could, you know, start your coffee, you know, although kind of do that on the in the morning. But the kind of cool thing with these connected appliances is that a lot of them will work with the TFTTT, the IFTTT, if this, then that. They'll work with those recipes. So you could, you know, set the recipe for, you know, to start your coffee at a certain time, or, you know, if you wanted coffee, yeah, I don't know, it's cold outside, so, hey, start me a pot of coffee or a pot of hot chocolate. You know, that's kind of the vision for the future, if you will, along with the light bulbs that we talked about for the connected lighting and the Wemo and all of that, and what Amazon Echo and the IFTTT will work with. There are also connected thermostats that you can program an IFTTT recipe for. So again, you know, it's that thing that, you know, if the house is, you know, gets to a certain temperature, or I just like to think of it as I'm on my way home. And yes, I have a timer on my thermostat, but I never know what time I'm going to get home because my schedule changes so often. You know, same thing with my, you know, husband. He can, you know, work different shifts as well. And so that's kind of nice about being able to program or interact with your thermostat from your smartphone. Okay, I'm on my way home. I'm getting ready to leave. So, you know, thermostat, you know, start, you know, warming up the house. So when I walk into the house, it's nice and toasty, and I haven't kept the temperature at, you know, whatever, you know, my ideal temperature is 72. I haven't kept it all day. You know, I've been able to keep the temperature lower and then have it, you know, increase when I'm ready. And that's, you know, that's a neat thing. And connected home devices are just going to become more and more common as we continue to get these devices that integrate with them, you know, like the Amazon Echo, and we have these apps that can also be used to program them, like IFTTT, 3 T's, okay, IF and 3 T's. So don't be surprised if you start seeing, you know, more and more simple devices. Mr. Coffee is the Wemo coffee pot, so it's a Mr. Coffee smart Wi-Fi 10-cup brewer that you can get. And again, you know, Amazon's got it for $105. And yes, you know, they're kind of pricey right now, but don't, you know, I would expect, you know, within 6 months or so, you're, you know, as more competitors come out, you're going to start seeing some real good drops in price point. So have a happy holiday, everyone, and we will see you in January.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazaro and Dave Snedeker.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
All right, we're all set to go here with another episode of Education Matters. Thanks to Dave Cole for that nice introduction. And my name is Mike Kehoe. I'm the host for today's program, one of four alternating